Hello, my ladies, my gays, my theys, and the men who get it. I am Reagan, and guess who's back?
Back again.
Kate is back. I don't feel like Eminem would be pro this podcast.
We might get a hate rap written about us.
You know what? I don't think we're on the top of the list. Is it list?
No, probably not. He's got a pretty long list of enemies.
Yeah. He massacred Machine Gun Kelly. That's one of the most brutal verbal takedowns I've ever heard in my life. If I want to be empowered, like, verbally, like, it is one of the most epic, like, absolute destruction, KO, by kill shot by Eminem. That's about Machine Gun Kelly. You know a rap takedown is good when the person changes genres after.
There you go. I need to look that up and look up the actual words.
It's so he, like... I don't know, this might not be interesting to our viewers. If it's not,
skip ahead.
But basically, he is responding to, so Machine Gun Kelly came out with Rap Devil, ripping on Eminem. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, the last thing you want to do is come for Eminem.
Don't start this beat.
Which this is topical, actually, knowing what our topic is. He had said something about Haley, Eminem's daughter, being hot, or like, creepy, and she was underage. Speaking of the topic of today, and he comes out with this whole thing, and Eminem comes out of nowhere and is like, oh, I'm gonna write a masterpiece, which he did supposedly in one take. Oh my god, it's so, like, it's savage.
That's awesome.
But you know, my whole thing with Eminem is he's one of the greatest rappers of all time and still can't stop using homosexual slurs. Really, really bad. It's like, you can figure out a rap to Orange, but you can't stop me.
You got to go back to that old trope. Yeah. Let's use that creative little brain of yours.
I'm just like, dude, grow the fuck up on that one. And then, you know, his hateful things towards women, but I digress. Anyways, so today we are talking about something that I know Kate and I, we've been wanting to talk about. It's come up many times, but I actually just watched Baby Reindeer. Highly recommend, except there...
Trigger warning.
Sure. There are things that are shown without revealing anything about the plot. Grooming is something that comes up. And I've seen a lot of people saying that, like, he's not a victim. He was a part of it. He was involved in it, or he was complicit, really ignoring the dynamics of grooming. And as someone who was groomed, I took issue with that. So...
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I think there's some misconceptions about grooming, and I think there's a lack of appreciation of how insidious it is. It's slow starting. It's so
calculated and manipulating.
Yes, yeah. It's calculated. It's manipulative. And it starts so nicely. It's like, yeah. It starts off, everything's great. So I would really like to discuss the dynamics, because I think when people think grooming, they think like old adults.
Yeah.
And a young child, but a lot of grooming is a, you know, older child, like early teens,
yeah,
to late teens, and a, you know, 30-year-old, or it can even happen when you're of age. It's still grooming. It's just not with a child. So I think we're going to talk about it. You down, Kate?
Yeah. That was my experience. So I can come.
This might be a rough one, so if you are not interested in this topic, totally understand. Feel free to skip past and take our little facts about Eminem episode.
Nice little short.
A little short, but we are going to talk about, trigger warning for talking about grooming. We're not going to get into the details of anything, but we're just going to talk about the dynamics and why it's important to recognize.
A one, a two, a one, two. He's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he's screaming in your face. And he's a nice guy, such a nice guy, but he'll put you in your place. And he's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he gets caught. He's a nice guy, such a nice guy, until he's not F the nice guy.
So, Kate, I don't even know how to start this.
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, same.
On the episode we did about reasons we stayed or whatever, things that happened to us and we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
One experience was kind of discussed briefly on there. But then, you know, I have several, unfortunately.
Oh, I have a main one. Well, let's talk about what grooming is. Grooming includes a range of behaviors and or verbal or written communications with a child or young person or with significant adults with the intention of facilitating contact with the child or young person and preventing disclosure. When you're doing it, you build trust, you show favoritism, you gain the trust of whoever's being groomed, family or friends, then you isolate them, you intimidate them and use secrecy, you test the waters or violate their boundaries. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And then you shape their perception of what's happening to them.
Yep.
Check on all accounts.
Yeah, right.
What happened to me?
Been there. Sounds familiar.
Oh, God, I wish I would have read this article. Like back in the day.
Again, like if I could just bounce back in time and talk to little old me.
Yeah, I am laughing. I want to be clear. I don't think it's funny. Like literally, before we got on this, was very upset. And I may cry within this episode. I don't know.
Yeah. We're both self-deprecating humans sometimes. You know, you got to kind of laugh off your traumas. It's a way to cope.
Well, truly. And here's why I think it's really detrimental is because even looking it up just to talk on this podcast, like when speaking of grooming, it's almost always spoken about with an adult and a child.
Yeah.
And
it's very nuanced.
It is nuanced. And it's also like so often it's a young girl, you know, or a older, like a teen, you know, it's somebody who's old enough to think they know more, you know,
right.
And then it's an adult man coming into their life and the grooming, you know, is making them feel special and mature. It's the situation of all the stories we tell of 20-year-olds and high schoolers.
Yeah.
You know, if the child is underage, the girl is underage, then it's obviously criminal immediately, right?
Right.
But sometimes they wait until you're of age, but they just start grooming you when you're young. They want you to see them. Because that's what happened to me is I saw this guy as the cool older guy that wanted to be my friend when I was 17. Like, that's how I saw him.
Yeah.
And that continued into adulthood. And I saw him as someone who knew more and knew better. And he made himself the guy I turned to talk about boys with.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting. They get past your age being the illegal part. But they've already used that time. They've used that part of your brain up. They've made sure to use that kind of malleable time, to use that time where you're not sure of who you are, when your identity isn't clear. They worm their way in then so they can reap the benefits later.
Yeah. You know, I talked about the one person that I dated who introduced me as his friend because he was ashamed about the age gap.
They never really are, though.
Yeah. I mean, look at what he ended up doing. He married one of his former high school students. Like, what was happening while she was in school? Like, that's what I'd like to know. When did this... I have questions.
I have questions for you.
I have queries.
That's the thing is, like, people will be like, oh, well, they're 18. And you're like, hi. Did you think like the day they turned 18, they're like, let's go on a date? Or do you think it started before then? Do you think there's inappropriate behavior? Even if there wasn't actual crimes committed, like there's almost always inappropriate emotional.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting because there's three different people I can think of right off the bat. There's that person, but there's somebody else I'll talk about. And then somebody else I could talk about if we have time. But all three of them pushed constantly this like, you know, you're really young, like this moral ground,
girl,
like understanding
that
there's an inappropriate age gap, but then like almost like, yeah, but I mean, you know, you're so mature and getting to know you as if you're like developing this friendship first.
Yes.
Like you said, then when it becomes like, I guess numbers wise appropriate for them to like make an actual move, they're like, look, you know, look at us. I've known you for so long. I've like, and it's like, how long have you been planning this for?
The whole fucking time. There is no reason an adult man should be chatting it up with a high schooler. No fucking reason, period.
Yeah.
I looked back on some of the shit the guy who groomed me said to me, and he would literally, like, this is almost a quote. He would be like, oh my God, you're so hot. If you weren't 8. I wasn't 8. I was like 17.
Ew.
First of all, he would identify that I was too young. So anytime he would hit on me, he would immediately follow it with like an acknowledgement that I'm too young. And so in my head, I was like, oh, he gets it. He's safe. But like saying something at the tail end, acknowledging the age difference is still hitting on them because you still said the words, right? You're still letting me know you think I'm hot.
You're trying to cover your own ass there with a little disclaimer at the end. Like, I fully recognize how young you are. It's like, but you still said I have nice tits.
So
like,
why? But why are you saying that then?
Yeah.
But when you're young, you don't get that. You're like, oh, he's nice. In my case, for example, he would constantly flip his verbiage, right? He would call me, and I have all the fucking receipts, like literally screenshotted. Yeah. So come at me, bro. This motherfucker clearly thought that Fort Knox is Facebook chat because he said crazy shit that one should never say.
You can go back decades at this
point. Yeah, I have you blocked, brother, and I can still find it. But he would call me like kid or punk. He would call me like 20. Like he would literally talk to me like I was a sibling. And then in the same breath, he would call me hot and sexy. And he would constantly flip between the two. And I just remember it being so confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, he would constantly acknowledge that I was too young.
Yeah.
And yet he was still hitting on me and spending all this time talking to me.
It's that whole like, oh, you're really gonna be beating the boys off someday. Oh, wait. Said that wrong. you're really beating the boys away with a stick or whatever.
Yes. That classic misogynist phrase.
You're not going to be beating a bunch of boys off. Good God, that came out wrong.
Not in my case, Kate. Not in my case. It's lesbian humor. Little lesbian humor.
Moving on. Good God. That was, as soon as it left my mouth, I was like, nope, that's not what you wanted to say.
Whoops.
Anyways, the comments saying things to like younger, even boy, like it's creepy. When older women do it to young boys. And they're like, oh, you're going to be fighting those girls off when you're older. And it's like, ew. They say these things with this hidden
agenda.
Yeah. At a hidden agenda. Like they're complimenting you. It's like, mm-hmm, they're trying to hide it as just a compliment,
right?
They're being sexual. Like they're saying something that is inappropriate. It's really like at its core inappropriate.
Well, it's a very strange way. Like men who are pretty good at grooming, it's not that hard to groom young girls because I mean, I was so fucking naive, Kate. I have to tell you, I went back to those messages and I was like, oh,
the
like
cringe.
Misspellings galore, not a capital letter to be found, no punctuation.
Just run on sentence after run on sentence.
You, I spelt you, the letter U, like cool was like K-O-O-L, like absolutely a high schooler, if not younger, like seeming. And this dude had me fucking convinced. I was so mature and so, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was literally messaging you like a middle schooler, like fuck off. But at the time I totally believed him. And they will convince you of that you are being mature, but like, it's so hard to unpack what they're doing to you. And that's why they do it at a young age, because an adult knows, like as soon as I hit the age, when I was like 24, which was the age he was when he was talking to me, a junior in high school. Yeah. I was like, that's fucking disgusting. And like, why would you spend your nights talking to a high schooler? Like you have nothing in common with these, like you're graduating college. Like when you hit their age, you really realize like how gross it all is. But when you're that young, like the manipulation is so hard to understand, because like the very base logic is like, oh, he's complimenting me, but he's saying he won't like me or he doesn't like me or I'm too young. But it's like, yeah, he shouldn't be complimenting you. There's no point to compliment you. If he knows it's wrong, he wouldn't say anything.
And the thing about that, them saying that is like it's like almost challenging that young girl to like act more mature, make them.
Yes.
Like to me, when I would hear that, like, oh, you're so pretty. Cause I would hear the exact same things. It would be like a overtly sexual compliment, but like, but you're too young for me. And I would be like, in my mind, like, wait, let me prove that I'm worthy of you. Like it was so sick to think back on how I viewed these people, because they were like a prize to be won. And I was like so proud to be told that, like, oh man, your body's so developed or whatever say. It was so inappropriate to think back on, but knowing and remembering how it made me feel at the time, it was like the biggest compliment you could receive.
It was.
Like this,
I'm so cool.
This established older man who's like out in the world making his own money is like attracted to me. Like, wow, I'm so special. Like,
that's the point, isn't it?
And it's this sick game of them like acknowledging that they know it's wrong to be like pursuing someone younger than them, but then like also in the same breath, it's like a challenge to you to like,
yeah,
prove yourself to me. Like what?
The whole thing makes me want to scream, but yeah, it's so disgusting. And like I always had crushes on older guys. And I think
same.
Like, I think a lot of it was like, I was a validation seeker, you know? So if I met like an older guy, I think a lot of it was like validation, but also like, I just thought they were cool. Like a lot of times they were funny and they were confident and like, they were good at like banter, and that kind of stuff always intrigued me. So I would try and engage with older guys, and like my sister had guy friends who, when I was older, they did like me, but like, when I was younger, none of them were trying to get with me, but they'd be nice to me and they'd be funny with me and they would humor me in certain ways, but never in an inappropriate way. And it's such a slippery slope because like these guys will kind of start off like that. To my own story, like he literally would call me like kid, like a punk, like a twin, like very cutesy little phrases that are like, I'm not attracted to you. He would utilize those to make me feel comfortable because that puts him in the older friend. Like, I have a crush on this older guy. Nothing's going to come of it because he's a good dude and he's acknowledging I'm young. Like, he would go out of his way to make it clear, like, oh, no, I get it. I get that you're too young. But if he got it, then he wouldn't be in the conversation with me. And I was desperate to get him to like me, like in the messages. Like, I had a boyfriend who he had met, but I was still desperate for this cool older guy to think I was cool. I don't even think I wanted to get with him as much as I wanted to be cool.
Yeah.
And like, he facilitated that and he built me up and he made me feel cool and mature when I wasn't. I had like zero experience with men. Like, I didn't like men, you know, like I was not cool. I was not experienced. I have no shame in my game. That is the facts. But damn, he had me convinced I was fucking like the most mature girl out there.
Yeah. Like when you're that young, especially we're talking like high school age, when you're still in that era of your life of like still being in school, not yet working, you're living with your parents, not being on your own. And then to me, at least, anybody in the outside world who gave me any sort of attention like that was like this enigma of like, oh, this person is out. Like any accomplishment that they had in their lives was so overly impressive to me because I was so yearning for that. Like I was so close to that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, 16, 17, 18, you're really like starting to inch up to like those years of getting out on your own. So hearing somebody who was like out there doing that to me, like I'm telling you, when I was like 16 or 17, a manager at Burger King could have been like, yeah, I've got like, I'm driving my 96 Honda. Like, like I would have been like, you're a god. You have so much money of your own.
You're free.
Living in a studio apartment.
Yes.
Oh my God, take me now. Like,
yeah. Yep.
It was so desirable to me, no matter what. And I feel like they take that knowledge and they manipulate it because like,
oh, for sure. It's by design.
Yeah. The one guy who, it's a short story, so I'll just tell it really quick. I worked at the front desk of like the equivalent of a YMCA in our small town. So I worked with a lot of older people. It was my high school gig, but trainers and older like lifeguard managers, a lot of the staff were people who come home from college and fill in shifts, whatever. So I hung out with a lot of different aged people. And there was this guy who would like constantly just pull like the coming up to the counter and like leaning on the counter and just like chatting with me all the time. And he was very attractive and he was a bodybuilder.
Oh Jesus.
And I was in high school and he was in his mid to late 20s. And I'm talking like 15 or 16, I think, even at this time. And he like would do exactly what we're talking about, like talk about all of the things he like his accomplishments and really like talk about his bodybuilding shows or whatever he was training for and how he was going to go get like the spray tan or whatever, you name it. And like building up this whole idea of his life and how like great it was, the ideas of grandeur. And I remember it shifted and he started like, I'm pretty sure we were like texting.
Oh God.
And that's when I say I was going to try to look for receipts, but I can't go back that far in text form.
Right.
But I know in some way, and I didn't have Facebook yet because I didn't get that till I was a senior, but in some way we were communicating outside of work. I know that because that's where the inappropriate things would be exchanged, like messages and not overtly inappropriate, but definitely that manipulative, like,
yes,
God, you're so beautiful, but like, man, what would your dad say type of things?
Right.
Like, oh, you're too young for me, but there's always a but. And it was so, to me, complimentary.
I was complimented.
Thank you. But then he ended up, you know, long story short, bringing in a photograph of him at a bodybuilding convention or whatever that he had won. And it's literally like, I don't know if you've seen these guys and what they wear, but it's him like with his arms up doing his pose in the smallest Speedo you could imagine.
Gross.
With his full tits and bits on display in this photo, just poking out like right. Like it's the first place your eye goes in this photo. It was so inappropriate. And I was like, I'm hanging this on my wall when I get home. This guy gave me a photo of his whole body and I am smitten. Like, and then I have that photo still to this day because I ended up eventually realizing how big of a creep he was and like keeping it as a hilarious keepsake.
Yeah, memento.
It's somewhere in one of my old like boxes. I know I still have it because I have found it in whatever college moves and busted out laughing, being like, oh my God, the nerve this man had. But he ended up doing what we talked about. Like when I became of age, I remember he reached out. I was probably like 20.
Oh God.
And in college, and he reached out and like officially made a move. And I, at that point, had realized how absolutely absurd this whole situation was and was like laughed it off. Like, bro,
I still have your picture.
Yeah. Like I could drag you to hell and back if I wanted to, but thankfully I had realized by then like what had happened and how predatory it was.
Yeah.
Cause it was, I mean, it was wildly inappropriate to give a 16-year-old girl this photo for sure.
Yeah. Also to print it and then care, like that is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a full ordeal. Like, did he get it printed? Did he print it himself? A photo? Like, ew, dude.
It's a full color, like, professional photo that he gave me. And it's, like, a 5x7. I mean, I was so, like, I was so, like, proud of myself to receive this at the time. Because I was,
what a
like,
gift. What an Adonis.
And I think about it now and I'm like, oh, my God.
Ugh.
And my dad did know this person. And
I'm
pretty sure I, like, hid it from him for a long time. And then when I eventually like showed it to him, we could at that point laugh about it. But
that dude's lucky because your dad's a shotgun dad.
My dad would have probably had a different response.
Put damn muscles to the test.
Yeah.
Smack the spray tan off of him.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what though? That's the whole thing. It's like, this is coming from not an expert, a victim of it. So
yeah.
I don't know. There's an expert on grooming who could probably listen to this and be like, wrong. but in my experience, there's such an element to grooming of like making you complicit. And I think that's why they say the things that they do. Like, I think one, it makes them look less scary when they're like, you're beautiful, except you're too young. But it also like has you fighting back against it, right? To be like, no, I'm old enough. I'm cool enough. Like in mine, I was like actively pursuing seeing him.
Oh, for sure.
I was, you know, fighting against the idea that I was too young because he was pushing the idea that I was. But then it made me feel like I was choosing and it was my goal. And like, you know, he was against it and I was the one who is pushing it forward, which is the narrative they want.
Yep.
They want you to think they were against it and you really were the aggressor. You were the one that went after them. And it's like, no, they were always pursuing you. They were always wanted you, but they phrase things in a way that makes you combat them. So you feel like you chose to when they had no other motive to do what they did other than to try and get you.
Yep.
And that's what, like, I look at my text and I was like, God, you know, I see myself actively pursuing this guy or like trying to be cool, but I'm like, why the fuck is a 25-year-old giving a high schooler his number?
Yeah.
Why is he wanting to hang out? I could just tell it, I guess.
Yeah.
Fun story. I've talked about this guy. he's a groomer. He was by far the most abusive person I ever dated. But as is the point with grooming is he did not start that way. So I was at a christening. Because, you know, where else would you meet a groomer?
Tracks.
I know. So he, if I'm remembering correctly, which I could maybe be wrong, but there was a family where there was three sisters. There's an older sister, a middle sister, and the youngest sister. My boyfriend was best friends with the youngest sister and had been forever. I think he was friends with the oldest sister, but he was kind of dating the middle sister.
Oh.
So that's kind of why he was there. I think they were trying to set them up. And then I don't know why, but the oldest sister had my boyfriend who was in high school is the godparent of her child. I don't know. It was a very confusing time.
So convoluted.
To each their own. I wouldn't want a high schooler to be the godparent of my child, you know.
It's the picture of, you know, having their life together.
I know. Trust me, he did not. He was like very immature, yeah. But he's one of my favorite exes, so it's fine. The one I was there with, not the groomer. But anyways, yeah. So we get there and there's this really cocky but funny guy there who's much older, who really, you know, Kate, it's shocking, took a liking to me and talked with me all night and like bantered with me. I remember we were like across the table from each other and we just were chatting it up. And it was so bad that like other people at the table noticed, and even like my boyfriend was very jealous. And I remember thinking like, this guy's like about to graduate college. Like he's not flirting with me. Like I'm a junior in high school. Like,
yeah,
me.
Yeah. I'm just a baby, you know? And I believe that. I believe that. And then I reached out to him because of course he made me feel cool and special. And I reached out to him on Facebook. And like, again, like it could have been left at like a somewhat inappropriate exchange at this like event. But it didn't. And he accepted my friend request and thus began a multiple year long relationship online. Where he felt like he could say whatever he wanted because we were in the privacy of Facebook chat. As much as he was hitting on me, he was equally saying I was young. So like it almost like...
So he was trying to convince himself more than anyone.
Well, he's trying to convince himself, but I think he was also trying to put me at ease.
Yeah.
Because if he would have just been hitting on me, I would have been like, whoa. Yeah. But it was like hidden in like, you know... He would be talking normally to me, but then he would just throw in hot stuff or like, and again, like you should not be talking to a high schooler like that.
Yeah. Here's a question. Did he ever get drunk and send you like drunken rants and then be like, oh, I'm really sorry. I was drinking too much last night.
Kate, you son of a bitch. So the first time he said something, and I remember receiving it, my stomach like went into my butt.
Yep.
It was a full stomach butt situation. But he texted me and like it was so blatantly misspelled and mispunctuated that like
almost he did it on purpose.
Yeah, Kate, it's almost like he was trying to get me to think he was drunk. And like, I mean, it was like Y-O exclamation point. U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U. A capital R-E-E. Like just ridiculous. Like no one.
Yeah.
But the message was this. You are so hot. If you weren't 16, I would so be on you.
Yeah.
Which, disgusting. And then I responded like, hey, what the hell? And do you want me to tell you what he said? I can tell you what he said, actually. Because mama has the receipts. Stop saying weird shit on Facebook. Okay, hold on. Lowercase y. Uppercase, are so hot. You are so hot. If you weren't like Sistine, I would so be on you right now. And then I responded the next day after a long time. explanation, please. Judging by the typing, I'm going to guess you were drunk when you wrote that. LMAO, yeah, a little bit. So how about those Cardinals or any other subject in the world? And then he said, what the hell? That's probably true. So he's sober at this point.
Oh, God. He didn't even like try to pretend.
No. And then I said, ha ha, awkward. I'm not really into incest and you are my twin. Because we joked about being twins all the time. And then he said, well, you know, you must be hot if you're the twin of insert his full name. Again, this is a 24-year-old, 23 or 24, who is just told, I was like 16 or 17, a junior in high school, that he wants to be on me. I've called him out and this is what he says. By the way, I was super drunk that night. I probably didn't even think I was talking to you. In fact, I remember now. I thought I was talking to the actual Ronald Reagan. So when I said would be on you, I meant would vote for you. And when I said you are so hot, I meant I agree with you on your political stance and point of view. That's just how I talk when I'm drunk. So I see how you could misunderstand. I forgive you.
So like trying to play it off like a joke, not even a good one.
Not a good joke, but also I forgive you. So he's just hit on a teenager.
Yeah. And then spun it on you.
And then spun it on me and said something that's not funny at all. Like now I realize he was testing the waters. Now I realize he was seeing if I would bite. Like if I would pursue him, which I didn't. I was horrified.
Yeah.
And then he quickly started hitting on my sister, like to me, in an attempt to make me jealous.
Yeah, it sounds so calculated.
He like reached out because I missed his birthday, I guess. And like he also would really make me feel important all the time. You know, he was like, I just wanted a birthday comment from you. Like, bleh. But then he's like, you could introduce me to your cousin, and then said my sister's name, which by the way, he knew that was my sister. Like there's no way he didn't know. Like on Facebook, it tells you that she is my sister.
Yeah.
And he said, damn, son, that girl's straight out of the Girls Next Door. She can lick it like it's a lollipop, then drop it like it's hot. Then we could pop some crystal.
What the fuck?
And I could Superman that cousin. When that girl bends over, make me want to spend a guap for show.
What the fuck?
And then I was like, got really pissed off because I was like, that's my sister and don't ever talk about her like that again. Ew. Because I'm very protective, as you know.
Yeah.
We stopped talking for a while. I think he was trying to...
I don't know what he was trying to do. That was a lot.
I think he was trying to make me jealous because I was... Like, I think he was trying to get me to engage with him. And again, I had a boyfriend this whole time. This is a 24-year-old talking like this to a high schooler.
Oh.
I don't think I can emphasize this enough. Anyways, stuff like that went on for 3 years. He literally never stopped talking to me. He would give me, a typical groomer, he would give me advice on boys. He made sure he was the one, like, when I got, I don't know, I was probably, like, in my 19, when I was around 19, like, I would call him for boy advice.
Yeah.
Because he was older. And I was like, oh, he'll give me, wrong! I don't know why groomers do that, but they do that a lot. I guess to, like, push the boundaries, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they do it, that's common with groomers, is to talk, give like boy advice. And like,
yeah.
I think it's to ease into sexual conversations, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think I had mentioned in maybe the last one about how that the person that I actually dated, who was the high school teacher, had given me the lecture about going home with my guy friends or getting rides home from my guy friends because of how it was going to make me look to other people. It was very like brotherly. Like you don't want people to think of you in this way. Like this is going to really send the wrong message. Like you're going home from the bar with multiple guys. Well, I'm not going home with them. They're giving me rides.
Give me rides, you psycho.
Yeah.
That's the thing too, is like they go out of their ways to make themselves like the knowledgeable one, the one you should go to for advice, the one that has their life together.
The moral authority.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it suits them. And then it gets you dependent on them for that. So then when they turn on you, you're like, oh shit, it is me. Because the moral authority, who I have trusted so for so long, is now saying I'm the problem. It's like, I trust that because I have trusted that, which is grooming. Yeah. You know, it starts with them absolutely adoring you. It starts with you, you know, getting you to idolize them. It starts with them making you feel special and wonderful and amazing and not like the other girls and so much more mature for your age, which is bullshit. Or maybe it's not bullshit, but that's not why they like you.
Yeah.
But then it gets into the more subtle behaviors like you're describing, which is they will start to subtly critique you. They'll still be like flattering you, but they'll start to say little things like that. Like, this one little thing about you, like, I don't think it's bad, but everybody else does. Or like, they'll be like, yeah, everyone thought you were being weird at the party. Or like, my friends thought you were really immature. Like, they'll just do the subtle nagging at you because one of the main things is they have to break down your self-esteem.
Yeah. I would get a lot of like, oh, God, you're such a baby. Or oh, you're so young. Like, making a dig about your age and your level of it. It was so like counterintuitive to their argument that like, you're so mature for your age.
Right.
And they would give me a dig and be like, oh God, you're so young. And it's like, so which one is it? Because
is it what suits you legally?
Yeah. I'm like, physically I'm mature for you. Like, cause I got boobies, but my, you know, my personality is still that of a 16-year-old and you like to call that out. But
same exact thing with me. Our whole friendship, which was grooming, it was not a friendship. He had me convinced I was mature, but the second we got together, he was constantly attacking, you know, putting me down, saying I was mature, which is crazy now looking at it. At the time, I didn't understand what an adult looked like other than my parents, which was not, you know, not the right age. That was like an established.
That's what I mean. Like they were all just adults. It was just this broad category of like, an adult is interested in me.
Yeah.
Where you didn't realize the levels of adult that these people could fall into.
Well, that's the thing, is I like had, so here I was, like, I was like literally straight A's, like I was on the path to graduating with honors, which I did, but like I was thriving in a well-respected college, but I was still living at home because my college was near my house. And so, you know, I was literally just developmentally exactly where I should be, but this dude had me convinced I was a mess. And this dude, Kate, he was in a dead-end job.
That's what I mean.
He was, had the maturity of a 20-year-old. He was 27 or 28. He lived in a shitty apartment, like in a sketchy part of town, in a sketchy building. I remember, because I was dating him when he got this apartment, I remember touring it and being like, ugh, like the bathroom was foul. It was tiny. The carpet was crunchy.
See, I wouldn't have even been like, ugh. I would have been like, wow.
I didn't know till I was, yeah, later I did. Like, yeah. I knew it was dirty when we got there because I was like, ugh. And then we cleaned it. Looking back, I'm like, oh my God, this dude. And this was before life was incredibly expensive. And I'm not hating on anyone in a small apartment. But like, yeah, this dude had me convinced he was the most mature.
Living the life.
He was living, yeah, he was living his dream, going to the bar every night and getting plastered with his friends, sneaking me into bars, getting absolutely hammered all the time and doing karaoke. This dude had me convinced this was the life of my dreams.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If only I could live in a crunchy carpeted apartment. But I believe, I thought, oh my God, I'm such a mess. I'm so embarrassing. I was like, being with me is embarrassing. The very things they like you for are the things that they start to berate you for. And they start to slowly disintegrate your self-esteem till you are dependent on them. You live and die by what they think of you.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, just like is the case for most groomers, he was building up to abuse me. And that's the foundation he was setting.
Yeah.
And I just didn't pick up on it. I'm actually going to, I think, share this, the full story soon, and even share it on my Facebook page to people who may know us or know him, or at least know me, because I'm tired of not telling people what happened to me. But, you know, as I was like thinking about everything that happened, you know, I was like, damn, I'm like, you really abused and crushed this person who fucking adored you. Like, I worshiped the ground that he walked on for so long. And I was like, why would you do that? But then I realized, like, adoring them is part of the abuse.
That's the thing.
If you didn't adore them and see them through rose-colored glasses, you would never allow for the things that they do to you.
Yeah. And that's why the grooming works. That's their whole intention in doing it, is because they're telling you, oh, you're so mature for your age. You're not so mature for your age. You are so naive that you don't know not to put up with the things women their age will not put up with. Mm-hmm. And that's why it works, because you can't be expected to have been able to see those patterns or to be able to detect that you were being manipulated. That's why it happens so often, because that's their whole goal, is to go back to those young girls that have no life experience, no dating experience, who think anybody with a, you know, part-time job in a grungy, crusty apartment is worthy of pursuing. And it's unfortunate.
Well, and the other thing is, like, as I talked about in like the description of what grooming is, they get you used to secrecy, because when you're talking to these guys, you don't tell people. You don't tell anybody. You feel cool. So you don't tell anybody you're talking to an older guy, because you know it looks bad, but in your head you're like, oh, but it's not that. I know it looks bad, but it's not that. But let me keep it a secret. They don't even have to tell you, because you know not to tell, you know?
You don't tell your parents.
I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my friends. I was just in secret, like, because I felt like it was my secret, you know? I'm talking to this guy, like, this is my secret, when in reality it was his secret that I was keeping. And because I was so trained to keep things secret, I also didn't share a lot of the stuff that happened to me, because I was used to secrecy. They develop secrecy. And then, you know, as it gets worse, they'll give you other reasons you should keep it a secret. Oh, this might look bad, or you look bad. You probably shouldn't tell anyone, because this looks bad on you. And they just I mean, literally groom you into being like, okay, I should keep secrets. Okay, mm-hmm. I shouldn't share with my friends anything. Okay, this is all normal. Everything that's happening is normal.
Okay, my friends, that is the end of part one of this episode. We will be bringing you part two next week. I know that normally on this podcast, we try to keep things trauma light, and this episode definitely pushes the boundaries of that. But I think grooming is really important to talk about. I really don't think it's talked about enough. And I honestly wish I had heard more conversations about it, especially in the context of like a teenager and, you know, a 25-year-old, a 23-year-old, because I honestly feel like had I knew more about it or heard more about it or knew how bad it was, maybe some things that happened to me wouldn't have happened. And I appreciate every time you listen to an episode, but for this episode and the following episode, it really means a lot to me because I really didn't talk about this. So I can't really say enough how much I appreciate you listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon. I'm going to be stepping up the amount of stuff that I put on there, so stay tuned for that. And of course, if you like this episode, leave us a review because that also really helps. Thank you again to Kate for being a part of this two-part episode and being so vulnerable and honest. This was not an easy episode for either of us, I don't think. And stay tuned for part two next week. Thank you again for everybody who's listening. And as always, my friends, F the nice guy.